You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2.
How long should the party go? The next few days? The next few weeks?
All summer long, baby! We NBA champ!
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050.
I'll be there!
I believe that was Norm Powell with Cabbie on one of the double-decker buses, part of the Toronto Raptors parade. Soon after that, Norm Powell would dump a bottle of champagne onto Cabbie. And we thought we were headed towards Norm Powell being this year's Brett, or being the Raptors version of Brett Hall. Then we thought it could have been Marc Gasol, because we saw a video of him chugging a bottle of rosé. And yes, I can confirm it was a bottle of rosé. And then it went from there to this parade is going on too long. What the hell? And then came the news that there had been a shooting just outside at the southeast corner of Nathan Phillips Square, just on the outside around Queen and Bay. And police quickly arrested the two individuals. There was two victims. They were quickly found, receiving medical attention. They have serious but not life-threatening injuries. Two weapons have been also found as well. And according to the police, everything is safe there. Join us now to talk about the highs and lows. And man, the extremes of this parade, this celebration, this day. I mean, you can go in so many different directions. Josh Lewenberg, our Toronto Raptors reporter, is joining us here on Overdrive. I'm Matthew Cause, filling in for the boys. They'll be back tomorrow in their usual time slot here at 4 o'clock on TSN 1050. Josh, first off, how are you doing?
I'm good. I've managed to stay out of the sun as much as possible, so I'm not entirely
smart.
Red right now.
Smart.
I'm tired. It was a long day. I don't think the parade went as planned in terms of the length of it. They had scheduled to arrive at, 12:30, just after noon at Nathan Phillips Square. They ended up getting there until 3:30. So, yeah, I mean, I think after this many years, 20-some-odd years since the last major parade in the city of Toronto, probably have some kinks to work out for the next time.
Yeah, and like I've seen your video of a couple porta potties next to a wall.
Yeah,
and then people are using this to climb over, like in Game of Thrones when the White Walkers would fall on the fire. So that
Matthew, I kid you not, that's exactly the comparison that I used.
Yeah,
to the producers. I was going to start. Yeah, like there's zombies climbing up the wall. You have to knock them down. I didn't knock anybody down.
Yeah, that's good minds or nerdy minds think alike. Let's first go, though, to your perspective. Where were you when the shooting happened, when Matt Devlin made, and I thought, again, Devlin did a great job just keeping calm and in such an unusual and difficult situation. That's an understatement. So what was your perspective at all?
So we were on the catwalk in the, I guess it would have been the northeast corner. So that happened in the southeast, so I didn't see anything except for the aftermath. Right after it happened, because I guess we were above it and just north of it, we saw the immediate stampede of people running in fear, trying to vacate that immediate area. So we got we saw a lot of the spillover of people trying to get into the area that right below us that was roped off. The sort of the ramp leading up where there were some camera people and some police. So obviously they were letting people into that area as they were rushing. But I mean, mostly it was just confusion in that moment. Nobody knew what was going on, what happened. And there was even some calm directly after that happened. But about 10 minutes later is when we got word from there was a lot of undercover police up on the catwalk where we were. We got word that there was a shooting and they told us all to get down. So we were down for about 5 minutes just sitting, lying on the floor. The only one that wouldn't get down was the great Sam Mitchell, who said that this is how he knows we're all Canadian. He says they deal with this every day in Atlanta, so it's just no big deal.
I don't want to go to Atlanta then.
No.
Let me just say, put it this way, I don't want Sam Mitchell to be on the board of tourism for the city of Atlanta.
Anyways, they moved us shortly thereafter to an area that was a little bit more secure, more enclosed. But yeah, I mean, it was scary without being directly in it or seeing exactly what happened. Obviously, the aftermath was scary. It was very strange. As you mentioned, I think the Devlin handled it really well. They handled it. I mean, obviously, the officers on duty handled it as well as you can. But it was a strange and scary situation. I mean, listen, you hope and you pray that stuff like this doesn't happen on a day like today, on any day, but especially a day like today when there's just so many people out there. This was supposed to be a day of joy, and the city united over their love of sport, and it still was, but somebody or somebody's wanted to ruin that, and that's truly sad.
Yeah, it is. I mean, in terms of just the concern, first and foremost, the two victims. Second, anyone else that got injured in any sort of people running around and in those mobs, you know, it's easy to get knocked over. And that is first and foremost. End of sentence. Then after that, it's, you know, you feel bad for the players because you could sort of tell. And part of it was because the parade took so long, but the energy of the players during the speeches was nowhere near as high as when it was on the buses, where we saw, you know, Marc Gasol dancing or chugging a bottle of rosé or spraying the crowd with champagne, or Kyle Lowry getting a 5 more years chant at Kawhi Leonard. That was the great part of this event.
Well, even after, so we get to a secure area, we're assured that, okay, everything is as safe as it can be at this point. There was no immediate danger. Even in that moment, I'm watching the speeches, which were still going on, and I'm thinking to myself, like, I don't know what I should be doing. I retweeted Bruce Arthur, who was tweeting out updates, and his updates were similar to what my updates would have been or could have been because we were around each other. We both didn't have that much information, but so I retweeted him. But outside of that, I'm thinking, like, I don't know what I can add to this. And also, I wasn't sure. Do I go back to tweeting quotes and what's happening in these speeches in the parade? Or, I mean, just so much of it is you're just distracted at that point.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that was the same thing for the players, as you mentioned, too.
Yeah, absolutely. So if we hadn't have had this, who do you think would have won the Brett Hall Award for the person that was most enjoying the celebration, Norm Powell or Marc Gasol?
Oh, it's got to be Marc Gasol. I mean, I wasn't getting great reception where we were, or probably anywhere in that square, just based on the amount of people that were there using their phones. So I wasn't seeing a ton of stuff during the parade. I mean, outside of the square, what was going on in the floats. But after getting home, watching some of those Marc Gasol videos, or when I was able to get any kind of reception, I mean, that was Marc living his best life there and having a lot of fun. I haven't seen that side of Marc Gasol. I'm not sure that anyone really has, because he has been so all business, professional, focused, definitely since coming to Toronto. But even in his time in Memphis, you rarely see a guy like that loosen up and have the kind of fun that he had today. And obviously, the drinks that he was having there, he mentioned the beers the other day, the rosé that he chugged, I'm sure that helps in terms of having the kind of fun that he had. But yeah, I mean, that was cool to see. And even some of these other guys, like I thought Kyle and Kawhi were having fun on their float there. But yeah, without a doubt, Marc Gasol, parade MVP.
Also, smart for him, because as everyone knows, rosé usually has less alcohol level than red wine and often less than white wine. So if you're going to chug a bottle, you may as well go one with a little bit less booze in it.
Yes, as everybody knows.
As everybody knows. Josh Lundberg, our Toronto Raptors reporter, joins here on Overdrive on TSN 1050. All right, this might have been one of the best moments. We'll play it for you and get your thoughts on the Kawhi Leonard laugh, part two.
Enjoy this moment. And have fun with it. Aha, ha, ha, ha.
Your thoughts, Josh Lundberg?
He was right all along. He is a fun guy. That was the ultimate mic drop there. I said, don't even bother with the ring. Give him the whole Thanos glove. Just, the ring's not even enough at this point. No, that was cool. And I mean, obviously, he's not he's not on social media. He's not really seeing like these memes and all these things that are blowing up. But he also doesn't live in a cave. Like he's out there. He knows that that has become a big deal, a big thing over these last several months. And good for him for steering into it. This was, again, this was an opportunity for us to see a different side of these guys after all these weeks and months, really, the last 2 months of this team. We've been documenting it throughout the playoffs, really just staying emotionally balanced. And what that means a lot of the time is just straight faces, stone cold, no emotion, no personality. In large part, that's why I believe they had the success that they did, because they didn't get carried away with the highs and the lows and all of that. But what it meant is we really haven't seen this team celebrate their success or enjoy themselves really until that game six win. And I thought that was really, I mean, I've seen Kyle Lowry smile more over the last 3-4 days than in the previous 7 years combined. So to see Kawhi let loose, Kyle let loose over the last few days, Marc Gasol, we already talked about. I thought that was really cool. This is, I mean, they earned this celebration, and it was good to see them enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely. Josh Lundberg, a Raptors reporter, joining us on Overdrive. You're right. On TSN.ca, you can go and read Josh's most recent piece. And before we talk about it, let me ask you a question. In general, when a new coach takes over for a team, did that team have a losing record the year before when one coach gets fired and a new coach takes over?
Yeah, it usually does.
That's usually the case. So then look at Nick Nurse, who took over a 59-win team that traded away their best player, who then would probably upset their other best player, that the one player got traded because those two guys are best friends. The former coach was incredibly popular, and you now you're bringing in a superstar who had alienated himself from maybe the most progressive and loved coach in the NBA, and Greg Popovich. Well, that's what Nick Nurse walked into this year, with DeRozan being traded, Dwayne KZC being fired, Kyle Lowry not being happy about it, and oh, by the way, now you've got to win the trust of Kawhi Leonard. A hell of a year for Nick Nurse.
There was a lot that could go wrong here, and we documented that all year long, too. I mean, it sounds like from the conversation that Lowry and Leonard had with Rachel Nichols, ESPN, the other day, that there's more behind-the-scenes adversity they dealt with than we even know about. But you mentioned a lot of things that we know about. Kawhi coming in, the uncertainty there. Lowry coming in, not happy with the trade. You've got to convince guys like Ibaka, Valanciunas, and then Gasol to take reduced roles coming off the bench. Injuries and load management and all of that. There were so many opportunities here for this team to splinter, for the locker room to break, and for players' team to be divided. But it never happened, and I think Nurse has a lot to do with that. From day one, I mean, even before day one in terms of training camp, I sat down with Nick in Vegas. It was during the USA basketball mini camp back in July, last summer, and it would have been around a month after he got the job and like maybe just a week after he found out that he was going to be coaching Kawhi Leonard. And I remember asking him, I asked him a bunch of questions, and he wasn't being rude about it. In fact, it was the opposite, but he really didn't have the answer to any of the things I was asking. I mean, I wanted to know, okay, well, what's Kyle's mindset going to be coming into his first camp, Raptors camp, without DeMar DeRozan? How's the chemistry going to be? He said, well, I'm not really sure. At that point, Kyle wasn't talking to him or any of the Raptors brass. I asked him, okay, well, what's Leonard going to look like having not played in basically a year? He said, well, not sure. He had just met with Kawhi the week before, and it went well, but he hadn't seen him on the court yet. I asked him about the rotation and what it might look like. He said, I'm not sure. But the thing is, even though he wasn't sure about all these things, he didn't have the answers. He didn't seem bothered by it at all. And that's the Nick Nurse that we've come to know over these last several months, is that even when there's uncertainty, he's not sure of something, there was never any panic from him. And I think the team really takes on that personality that was ingrained in their DNA and their culture the whole season. You say the team takes on the personality of their best player in a lot of ways. Yeah, Kawhi is businesslike. The team was businesslike. But it all starts at the top, and it was Nick Nurse setting that from day one, having that conversation the first day of training camp, saying, elephant in the room. He had an elephant figurine in his office. If there's anything that's going on, we talk about it. We move on. He was very easygoing about the whole thing all year. And I think, honestly, the personality of Nick, laid back, it really meshed with the personality of his best players and ultimately of this team and what Masai Ujiri wanted them to be as a team. And obviously it worked.
Hey, Josh, really appreciate it. It's a great piece. Go to tsn.ca. Have the read on the piece on Nick Nurse. Thanks for joining us today. And personally, I'm glad that you did not get sunburned.
All right, Cos. Talk to you soon, buddy.
Take care. That is Josh Lewinberg. An update. We heard before from the police that there was two victims that were injured. We can now tell you that Toronto Police Chief Mark Sanders now says a total of four people sustained gunshot wounds in the shooting incident at Nathan Phillips Square earlier today. Police are appealing to anyone who has video of the incident to come forward to investigators. And you have to think that there will indeed be some video. I mean, you saw the shot of the crowd. Whenever any player came up and talked, everyone had their hand up and had their phone out there. So if you have any video of the incident, please go to police and contact them and give, you know, for whatever information that you might have. All right, before we go, a little update on the U.S. Open. Gary Woodland won the U.S. Open, shooting a 13 under for the tournament. All four rounds were under 70, including a 65 on Friday. Brooks Koepka was great as well. He threw up a 69, a 69, a 68, and a 68 at Pebble Beach. That's good enough to win you the U.S. Open in most years. It wasn't this. And again, think about Koepka. 2017, he wins the U.S. Open. 2018, the PGA Championship and the U.S. Open. 2019, he was tied for second at the Masters and now tied for second at the U.S. Open. That guy is on a hell of a run. So, of course, when it comes to Brooks Koepka, we need to play this clip of the fact the man's never drank coffee.
First of all, Brooks, your hands got cold on 18, and when I offered you a coffee, you said you've never had a hot drink in your life.
No. Growing up in Florida, man, you're not going to drink coffee. I don't drink coffee in the morning. I don't drink anything.
Not even hot chocolate?
No hot chocolate. Never had one.
Never had a hot drink in his life.
This golf report is brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Get fully equipped for summer and tick every box with a brand new Subaru. Visit your local Ontario Subaru dealers for great rates. Hopefully our boss, Jeff McDonald, isn't listening right now as he is an ultimate golf fanatic. And he'd want us to be talking about how late Gary Woodland, that crazy chip, I think it was, I'm trying to remember, somewhere in the back nine, had a crazy chip. And then Brooks Koepka had one bogey on the back nine, and that sort of helped to especially swing it for Gary Woodland. All right, coming up on the other side, we're going to be giving away a pair of tickets to see the Rolling Stones, and Bobby Marks is going to be joining us as well, ESPN NBA front office insider. That is all coming up. You are listening to Overdrive right here on TSN 1050. A reminder, Jamie McLennan, Jeff O'Neill, Brian Hayes will be back tomorrow. They were on from around 10 to 3, 3:30. They deserve the rest of the day off. I am Matthew Koz. They'll be back tomorrow. Welcome back, everybody. This is Overdrive here on TSN 1050. I'm your host for today, Matthew Koz, with Jamie McLennan, Brian Hayes, and Noodles will all be back tomorrow. They were anchoring part of our Raptors celebration parade. Celebration parade all day today from 10 to about 3:30. Before that, great job from First Up. Michael Ansberg, Carlo Goliakovo, we're at Nathan Phillips Square from 6 to 10. So the big news is obviously the shooting that happened at Nathan Phillips Square. And the two pieces of information you need to know. First, Toronto Police Chief Mark Sanders now says that a total of four people sustained gunshot wounds in the shooting incident at Nathan Phillips Square earlier today, that coming from CP24. And then the mayor of the city, John Tory, his statement on the shooting. First and foremost, we're all hoping for a quick recovery from those injured this afternoon. I want to thank the Toronto police and others who assisted them for the quick response in today's most unfortunate shooting after an otherwise spectacularly successful day. It is disappointing, and I'm sure a source of anger for more than just me, that anyone would carry a gun and discharge it at what was otherwise a joyous celebration. I hope those found responsible will be held to account to the full extent that the law permits. I want to commend and thank the millions of other people who happily and peacefully celebrated our beloved Toronto Raptors. And that is a big part of all of this. There was 2 million people there. And there were a lot of heroes today, people helping people in wheelchairs get over barriers. Matt Devlin keeping the crowd calm, the police. There were so many fantastic people. We can talk about, and rightfully so, some of the poor planning that went on, especially no barriers, so that making the parade route go so slow. And it's always easy to criticize and condemn, but we must also remember all the good that happened as well. I bet he didn't think that was the intro that it was that he was going to come in with, but Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider, who does a fantastic job at ESPN and has been a hell of a resource for this station, joins us now. Bobby, thank you so much for joining the show.
Thanks. How are you?
It's weird, conflicted, you know.
Yeah, really, right?
It is.
A good day, but not. It didn't end great.
No, absolutely. Like, all we wanted to do was giggle at who was going to be the drunkest Raptor and people that were holding signs that said, weed the North. And there were so many fun things. And Kawhi Leonard. Have you heard the Kawhi Leonard laugh, by the way, that he did?
I was in a car coming. I'm in New York for the draft. I just got down from Bristol, and I did see that, and it made me laugh.
Oh, so you did hear it?
I heard it, yeah.
Okay, well, you know what? One more time for the audience, for anyone who missed it, before we get into all the big picture things involving Anthony Davis and Kawhi Leonard. Speaking of Kawhi Leonard, here was his laugh at the end of his speech today.
Enjoy this moment, and have fun with it. Aha, aha.
See? Who says he doesn't have personality? But we're bringing you on not to talk about the parade, but the biggest piece of news. Anthony Davis goes to the Lakers. And when I saw the haul that the Pelicans got, this kind of feels like a win-win deal. Like, down the road, this could be a real killer for the Lakers. But on the other end, after a year of embarrassment and everything with Magic Johnson and LeBron missing the playoffs, this was exactly what the Lakers needed, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, then they didn't really have much of a choice. You know, they had, you're going in the summer with LeBron and these young kids, you had cap space to use. We saw what happened last year outside of LeBron. And really, Davis was the lone guy out there to go out and get. But the hard part is, unlike free agency, where you can just go out and sign a player, you had to give up a significant amount of assets here, and you get a top five player in Davis. But it cost you, yeah. It cost you with Ball and Ingram and Josh Hart. And you're right. I mean, the draft picks, we don't know where this is going to go. It's kind of an unwritten story. Certainly the number four pick come Thursday night. But with unprotected picks and pick swaps and deferments down the road,
yeah,
this is, it's a win-win for both teams. But, yeah, the Lakers, we could be talking 3 years from now when LeBron James might not be in the league, and it's basically Anthony Davis, and it's like, maybe Anthony Davis is asking to be out. maybe it's deja vu from what happened in New Orleans.
It's a good point. And the Lakers right now, now everyone's saying they're the favorite. And I think part of that's because the injury to Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson. But they could soon be the Brooklyn Nets, who made all those ridiculous deals to get Garnett and Paul Pierce and, all the deals they made that strengthened teams like the Boston Celtics. But I guess just having LeBron James puts all the pressure, because what's the point? Like, if they didn't get this big superstar, it could have been a disaster, and we could have seen peak passive-aggressive LeBron James.
Yeah, I mean, what it does is now it puts a lot of pressure on their front office. Now, how are you going to build out that roster? And I've said it today, and I don't want to be critical of the Lakers, Rob Plink in their front office, but any of the other 28 teams could have done this trade, right? I mean,
yeah.
Like, when you give up basically everything, and really Kyle Kuzma is the only guy left, I mean, Brooklyn could have done it, or Boston could have done it if you wanted to just surrender all your draft assets. I think. We'll see how good this front office is in the next couple of weeks when they have $24 million in room and they go out and see who they fill out here, because I think the playoffs proved, at least you saw it firsthand, that you need to have a balanced team here. When you're top heavy and especially if you an injury happens, it really leaves you without a safety net.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Raptors, they don't win without Fred VanVleet and Serge Ibaka. That sentence would seem very confusing, you know, a year ago. Joined by Bobby Marks, front office insider, NBA front office insider, joining us here on TSN 1050. You tweeted out about it, about Josh Lewenberg, our Raptors reporter, put out a little video saying lots of love for Kawhi. You tweeted, that's a pretty good free agent sales pitch. I'm sure you... Wait a minute. Do you have any inside information that you'd like to break on this show?
I don't.
Damn! Okay.
I think we've all been waiting for like 11 months of breaking news. We're kind of just at that point. We're like, we're just going to wait until June 30th or July 1st.
Yeah. Oh, see, I was hoping for it. Okay, that aside, I mean, you're a guy that's been in the business, either in the media and also, you know, you're a high-level person, you know, with the Nets and with the NBA for a long time. Is it fair to say that the Raptors have done everything they possibly can do to convince Kawhi Leonard to stay here?
And then some. You know, I mean, the goal was when you got him in July, mid-July, was to, as I say, actively in-house recruit him. That's the advantage you have over teams like the Clippers or Nets or the Knicks that might have interest in him, that you get him, you know, he gets a comfort level with your training staff. We saw what the good things that happened, your coaching staff, the front office. I would think he has trust in Masai Ujiri to continue building out this roster, if not just the summer, but going forward, if Kyle or Serge and Marc Gasol, and when their contracts expire here, and then you top it off, and you win an NBA championship, and then what happened today, you know, with, you know, the parade and how great it was, I don't know what else he can do.
Yeah.
I really can't. And then you throw in an extra $50 million that he can earn, you know, by staying there, right? We haven't really talked the financial angle of it, and
yep.
it's a lot harder for, and that's why, you know, you rarely see free agent turnover. And yeah, we saw KD in 16 and the big three in 2010. But when you have 11 months to pitch a player compared to a 4-hour meeting that the Clippers will have come end of June or early July, you know, it's hard for a player to kind of, you know, turn the other way here. And we'll see what happens with Kawhi. You know, I mean, he's done everything. We know what's happened. But if it's basketball related reasons only, It's the Raptors. I mean, I don't see a team out there that lines up, and I think, and then you add everything else, and I still would say Toronto. So we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks.
Whenever there's an NBA champion, again joined by NBA insider Bobby Marks, a guy who's worked in the NBA for ages. Whenever there's a champion, one of the first things we do is we try to figure out what lessons can we learn from this team, and what lessons can be translated to other teams throughout the NBA. And I don't know if that's the case with the Raptors, just because this was such an unconventional approach to winning an NBA championship. Is there any lessons you can glean that other teams will take from this?
I think the lesson is that you don't need to build your roster with three all-stars. I think the lesson was, if you can have an all-NBA type player in Kawhi, and then you build your roster around high level, I don't want to call Kyle and Pascal role players because they're not role players, but guys that know their role, that has an identity with this group here and is deep. I think that's kind of the formula to build it out. It's not, you know, I mean, the amazing thing is that there's no lottery picks on this team, right?
Yeah.
There's not one lottery pick. And in a day and an age when we see teams, we'll see it Thursday night, bottom and out, for Zion Williamson or John Moran or R.J. Barrett, that's not the case in Toronto. So I think it shows you that you can build it the right way. It might take a little bit of time and some agony, as you guys have seen the last couple of years here.
Yes.
But when you have that all top three or four player, it's a lot easier to build around.
Hey, Bobby, before I let you go, the biggest story was going to be Anthony Davis. And it still will be a big story because anytime Lakers or LeBron are involved, all eyes go there. But, you know, if we push that aside, Kawhi Leonard, his destination, the number one story in the NBA for the offseason. After Kawhi, what do you think, or what for you is the most interesting development this offseason after Kawhi Leonard?
Probably KD, because of, you know, the decision that he'll have either, you know, going back to Golden State and or going elsewhere. And, you know, of course, the likelihood is that he's going to have to sit out a year. I've said before that there'll be teams lined up to take that chance, and that's fine. I think, you know, what if Kevin returns to Golden State and basically having it's I've never seen it before, having like two guys sit out the year, and Clay and Kevin as far as, I don't want to say punting the season away, but kind of regrouping like the Bulls did, to, you know, back they had two different teams there. And then waiting until the summer of in summer of 2020 to kind of regroup. But I think Durant's decision as far as what he decides in Golden State is probably the next thing that I'm probably paying attention to.
Hey, Bobby, really appreciate it. You know, every time you come on this show, it's fantastic. I steal so many of your clips for my show. I'm not usually on from 4 to 7. And so really appreciate the content.
You're welcome. Thank you. Have a good day.
Yes, you as well. That is Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider. And yeah, the offseason is often cases more interesting than the regular season or even the postseason. That certainly wasn't the case this year. All right, Rolling Stones giveaway. And it's going to be caller number 6. On June 29th, the Rolling Stones are taking over Burrells Creek Event Grounds, which, by the way, is nuts. You know, you think of the Rolling Stones, you think of Wembley, you think of giant stadiums. This one is just like off of the 400. I pass by this place when I'm going to my cottage. Anyway, they're taking over Burrells Creek Event Grounds, June 29th. We're giving away a pair of tickets every day this week and next week on Overdrive. Caller number 6. And a 416-870-1050 wins a pair of tickets to see the Rolling Stones. 416-870-1050 is the phone number. And producer Sean Lavery, at some point, because summer is coming, there's fewer topics. Leading up to this, we are going to have to do top 5 Stones albums. Of course, we all know the number 1, Exile on Main Street. Spoiler alert, we'll also do our top 5 favorite Stones tunes. And Let It Bleed has got to be in that top 5 list. 416-870-1050 is the number. Caller number 6 wins a pair of tickets to see the Rolling Stones. All right, coming up after the break, we will play just some of the best sound from today. We'll also play you some sound from the Toronto Police Chief, Mark Saunders, and the latest update he's given about what happened at the shooting incident that happened earlier this afternoon at Nathan Phillips Square. So we'll cover all of that. You are listening to Overdrive. I'm Matthew Cause, in for the guys. They will be back tomorrow at their normal 4 o'clock time. And as I said before, to Jamie, to Brian, and especially you, Jeff O'Neill, if you're listening, I hope you're having a steak. I hope right now you're at Harbor 60. You're at your favorite restaurant. I hope you're eating your favorite food as you are getting both a foot massage and a back massage all simultaneously. Welcome back, everybody. This is Overdrive on TSN 1050. I'm Matthew Cause, filling in for the guys who were spectacular. And also, again, a big shout out to all the producers behind the scenes, the people setting up. What you don't realize is that if our shows go on at 6 a.m., that means there are employees from the station up at 4. I mean, probably on set at 4:30 in the morning, getting things ready. So to Paul, to everyone else, but Phil Ballard, everyone behind the scenes, fantastic job on all the coverage from Landsberg and Koliakovo, to the guys from Overdrive, just nailed it today on a bunch where you enjoying listening to your normal guys that you produce every day. How much fun were you having when they were complaining about the heat? The lack of any sort of beverage.
I did enjoy it because, yeah, as you know, we had our own feed back here.
Full.
We were comfortable.
We were very comfortable.
In the air conditioning.
Yeah. Shade.
Very comfortable.
Variety.
There's a couch.
Yeah, several couches, variety of pizzas, Uber Eats as well. So we were well taken care of here. But hearing like those guys complain, like, I got to tell you, angry Overdrive. Like, my favorite version of this show is when it's them and Ray Ferraro. That's my favorite. I think my favorite sports radio is that segment. My second might be angry Overdrive, especially rangy Jeff O'Neill.
You just poke the bear for the rest of the show. That's,
yeah,
what you do. Once,
yeah,
you realize he's in some sort of mood, you just poke him for the rest of the day.
The funniest is some people come up to me and go, is that all a work? Is that just an act? I'm like, no.
No, not at all.
No,
not,
no,
at all.
No, not even a little bit. But, I mean, considering they were on for hours and hours, and it's because the parade went too slow. And if we're going to do criticism, if we're going to do our armchair criticism, there's only one for me. And they brought it up. I've talked about it here. You should have had barriers. You should have had barriers on Lakeshore, on York, on University, so that the crowd wasn't on the road where the buses needed to go. And everyone knew that. All you had to do was just go back to last Thursday when the Raptors beat Golden State in Game 6. Did you see what Jurassic Park looked like? Do you remember those aerial shots of Dundas Square? It was nuts. And you knew it was going to be even crazier than them, and we found it was about 2 million people. And I know that, you know, they made an announcement. You know, they came out and said it's full. Like at 12:06, the city of Toronto like put out a tweet saying that Nathan Phillips Square is at capacity. No one else will be permitted inside the square. And then soon after that, Young and Dundas now has viewing screens up to watch the parade and rally. And this was a tweet from the city. If you're feeling too crowded around the route at Nathan Phillips Square, please move to Young and Dundas. All of that should have been set up before. And I know there's 100 different machinations that go in. I don't think anyone expected 2 million. I didn't expect perfection. I expected that there would be mistakes. But not having something set up to keep the crowd off the road, that one's ridiculous. Now, let's go to the other side. Total credit to the Toronto police to help quell a violent and scary situation. And let's hear, and again, if you don't know, there was a shooting at the southeast corner just outside of Nathan Phillips Square. Originally, we thought it was two people with serious but not life-threatening injuries. We then found out it was four. The two people that were part of that did the attack, they were caught. Weapons were found. But let's hear from the Toronto Police Chief. Here is Mark Saunders on his update.
Today at approximately 3:45 in the evening, calls were coming in to 911 with regards to a shooting occurred. What happened, officers arrived relatively quickly, and as a result of that, three people were arrested in total, two on one incident and one on another. We've retrieved two firearms at this point in time. The investigation is incredibly early at this point in time. We're appealing for witnesses, but the most important thing was that with all the resources that were here, the apprehensions were done incredibly quickly after the incident itself, and I'm glad for the work that the men and women have done for this. But on the go forward, as you look here, this did not happen in a vacuum. This happened in broad open spaces right now where we had over a million people that were here. We want the witnesses, those who were here, 99.9% of the people were here to enjoy the festivities of the Raptors winning the championship. We want them to step up and to help us by giving us as much evidence if you had, whether you saw it, if you could call 416-808-5200.
So that from the police chief. And considering 2 million people on a hot, sweltering day, that could have been far worse. And it was already really bad as it was. So any more information, we'll keep you updated. Also, News Talk 1010 is another great source for information as well. All right, let's have some fun. And we were waiting for who was going to be the drunkest Raptor. And the reason why we were really excited for this is because over the weekend, we got an appetizer. We got our appetites wet. We were excited. Why? Because of Brett Hall. Because of Brett Hall during all the St. Louis Blues celebrations. We wanted a Toronto Raptor version of it. And if you haven't heard it, let's play both. Let's play both of these clips. First, here is Brett Hall doing maybe the worst karaoke. Here's him trying to sing Gloria.
And they are the champions. Glory, Gloria. 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 I think I got the number. Gloria.
It's so good at the end. Because the middle part, he's kind of a little more soft, a little more Gloria. And then he's like, now I'm going to get angry.
Gloria, I think I got your number. Gloria.
He got mad at the mic. The mic owed him money. He's like, okay, Mike, I'm going to take you. Imagine, like, just, we've all been that drunk. We just all haven't had a mic in front of us with hundreds of thousands of people. But the fun doesn't stop there. Let's hear the other great moment. And by the way, when you hear this clip, I want you to imagine a bunch of St. Louis Blues cheerleaders behind him. And they go from cheering to utter confusion to kind of cheering, but they don't know what's going on. So I want you to think about bewildered cheerleaders behind Brett Hall as he does this.
The Stanley Cup for this city. There is nothing more they have to do. So instead of saying, let's go Blues, we're going to say, we went Blues. We went Blues.
What do you think that means, we went Blues? I mean, I have no idea. Mark Mullen, one other question for you. Those two clips, what's the over-under? Okay, I'm going to give you a question. Over-under. More times that those clips are used this week, or bottles of champagne that were consumed on the five buses carrying the double-decker buses carrying the Raptors today. What will be a higher number, the amount of times you use that clip or champagne consumed by the Raptors?
Probably the amount of times I've played Brett Hall this week.
Yeah, it's going to be like, that could just be the show. It literally could just, and that sound saved the parade coverage, because when you're on for an extra 2 hours that you don't expect to be on, you need all the help you can get, and Brett Hall certainly brought it. In terms of funny, here was the best moment. Here is Kawhi Leonard having fun with his own laugh.
Enjoy this moment, and have fun with it. Aha, aha.
And the great part is he did that as he was starting to walk back to the other members of his team, and they all just started laughing. Like, this is a group that weren't together for very long, but this is a group that really grew to like and probably in some cases love each other. I mean, think about it. I mean, 82-game regular season, and then five games, seven, six, and then another six. So 24 postseason games, 106 games. The shame of it all is that the parade, rightfully so, is going to be marred by what happened with the shooting. Rightfully so. But let's not forget the reason why 2 million people came out today, and that was to celebrate a hell of an achievement by those players and by that coaching staff. That's it for me. I'm Matthew Kaws, filling in for Overdrive. Thanks again for everyone with their parade coverage here on TSN 1050. I'll catch you tomorrow on game day. The boys will be back here at 4 o'clock.
Aha, 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 aha.